following is a special presentation of the Benefit of the Doubt podcast.
From Chicago, it's the Doubting Thomas podcast with Clifton Thomas and your host, Adam Doubt.
We are live. Hello and welcome to the Doubting Thomas monthly recap for May of 2023. And I can't believe the year is almost half over. Joining me as always is Mr. Cliff. How you doing, Mr. Cliff?
Yeah, it's actually something you haven't even mentioned yet, but my eye is a little funky right now. It's my left eye, which I assume it's my left eye on here as well. But the pollen's getting me a bit down, but besides that, I'm good because I'm here to talk some foldable technology with my good pal.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a theme going on, at least for the first part of this. So my question is, and we didn't really discuss this off the air, but do we want to go chronological or do we want to go like, I don't know, excitement level? I mean, like, what do you, how do you want to,
I don't want to front load it all. I think it's actually all pretty exciting. So,
well, yeah.
But, you know, it's a dealer's choice.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we start off by talking about, should we do Scrappy the review cam before it decides to fail on us again?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start off by talking about, this is kind of a folding technology, not really, although it has its very interesting aspects to it. But we're going to be talking about, I just submitted my review of the Lenovo YogaBook 9i. And folks, I came this close. To giving it the first 10 of my career.
I was going to say, have you ever actually done a 5 out of 5 or a 10 out of 10?
I have never done a 10. There's always something. You know, there's always something like that you're just like, you know, but so this is very, very close to a 10. But anyway, why don't we go ahead and bring on Skippy's idiot cousin, Scrappy. This is Scrappy the review cam, and
actually, it's Scrappy the not a review cam.
Scrappy the not a review cam. Okay, and then we need to hit the button over here to make it a little bit bigger so that everybody can kind of see it. So this is Scrappy. The reason this is Scrappy is because we're not doing the overhead shot for obvious reasons. I mean, like, this, where are you gonna overhead shoot this? So, I mean, you can see a lot of, like, the messy cords behind my wall, but whatever. Anyway, so this is the Lenovo YogaBook 9i, and this is my new favorite laptop of all time. Now, I have to say, like, one of the other things that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk a little bit about WWDC that happened earlier today. And one of the things that came out of WWDC was a very tempting MacBook Air, which, yes. I mean, honestly, if it had two screens, I'd be sold. But it doesn't, so therefore, I will not be.
And it doesn't fold. And
it doesn't fold.
It's definitely a little more plebeian in terms of in terms of the design. So yeah, why don't you talk about what makes this so unique? I would say it's unique.
I mean, you're looking at what makes it so unique.
Right, exactly.
But, okay, so now the reason we have Scrappy the review cam is because I'm going to be able to pick this up and kind of move it around and get the angles that we need. It's not going to be like your static overhead shot. But, I mean, okay, so this laptop, you're going to see so much crap that was set up behind this laptop. this laptop, as you can see, just looks like a normal, everyday, garden variety laptop.
I like that color.
It's a very nice color. Yeah, I didn't even mention that on the review, but yes, I do dig this color quite a lot. I'm having trouble managing the keyboard with one hand there. So you add the keyboard case on the top here. Let's do a nice little top-down shot. This is kind of your package for your laptop. And inside this case here, you have your Bluetooth keyboard.
Ta-da!
Which is extremely thin. I mean, like, super duper thin. That's your USB-C port right there, and you could see the keyboard is just barely thicker than the thing. And, you know, one little minor, like very teeny tiny minor complaint that I had was, like, I'm a sucker for, like, low travel keyboards. Like, you push the button and, like, it doesn't move at all. Like, mechanical keyboards are, like, the devil to me. This almost has too little travel in the keys. Like, it's real close. It was just, it was kind of like, you barely feel like you're pressing the keys. But anyway, so this case here kind of folds into, like, this little triangle deal here with magnets. So there's a magnet here and here, and it kind of claps together like that, you can see. And it holds the pen back here.
I like how the stylus just kind of gets, it's almost like a little tail for it back there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I honestly never use the stylus. Like, never. You would use the stylus a lot more, you know, as a graphics person. But anyway, then when you open up the laptop, you can set it right into here. Wow. And you have a dual screen laptop, which is, like, it's really, I mean, it's so handy for, like, my workflow, especially because, like, the way my workflow works is, like, I keep all my busy stuff up here, like my email and stuff like that, and then, like, the stuff that I'm actually working on, like the piece that I'm editing or writing or something, is down here. Like, research is up here. But you can also take this, and by the way, speaking of research, if you want to do a little bit of side-by-side research, you can also do that. And, you know, obviously it flips.
It's got a lot of different postures it can do.
It has a lot of postures, to borrow the term from Microsoft. Anyway, so this is my main configuration. I should also point out that, you know, before we get too deep into the weeds here, you can use this like a normal laptop. You can set it up like that. And the keyboard either snaps on like so, and when it does that, this is going to be kind of hard to see, but there's kind of a
faux touchpad on there.
There's a faux touchpad there, which I accidentally activated the regular one, but anyway. Ah, come on. It's not, oh, you know what? It's because it logged out. Hang on 1 second. You don't get to see my my pin there.
Why not? You've shown everything else pretty much on you.
Seriously, right? Hey, at least I remembered to close my email. Anyway, all right. So when you snap on the keyboard, you can kind of see there's like a little kind of a faux touchpad down here.
It's actually a big touchpad. Like, it looks Apple-esque in terms of its
size. Oh, you think that's big? What about bong? Now the whole thing is a touchpad. Anyway, and you can also take the keyboard and you can snap it on down here. And when you do that, you get, like, widgets up here. Now, there's only two widgets for the moment. There's this one. This is, like, your Microsoft feed. And, oh, actually, whoa, how did I change that? I don't know. I don't know how I did that. Okay, so there's this one, which is, like, your Outlook, stuff like that.
Right.
And then over here is, like, your Microsoft feed, which is, like, those really addictive articles that Microsoft pops up whenever you open up a new tab in Edge. I don't know if you have
it's
those.
So it's
have
so
those.
Bad.
It's so bad.
It's so, like, clickbaity.
I know. But you know what? They work because I click on them always. Anyway.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
So with those widgets.
Yeah.
Are they dependent on third-party developers to develop more?
They're dependent, from what I understood from my briefing, and granted, this is a hands-on briefing like 6 months ago, so bear with me if my information is not up to
date. Because your briefing was at CES, right? For this.
Yeah. So, like, from what I understand, these are going to be developed by Microsoft.
Okay.
And that's a problem because they are all Microsoft-oriented. So, like, this is for Outlook, not for email. This is for, you know, Outlook Calendar, not for Google Calendar, stuff like that. So, like, one thing I would love to see would be, like, to take this box here and turn it into, like, a mini web browser. So you could actually drop in, like, a Gmail window or a Google Calendar window or something like that. That would be beautiful. I don't believe that's in the cards, though. So just FYI. Anyway, they said that more of these widgets are coming out this summer, and they're going to include, like, stock tickers and, like, weather and stuff like that. But anyway, so there's that.
I mean, honestly, I would say just really quickly that the fact that that Microsoft is developing these is a good thing, because I know for the original yoga book that was like this, in terms of it being a foldable screen, like Lenovo basically had to do all the legwork.
Right, right. And
behind the scenes there in the software. So this bodes well for...
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, Microsoft is getting on board with the whole multi-screen train. But anyway, so like when I was in the car earlier today, I had the keyboard up like that. And, you know, I was using this as a mouse tray. And obviously, it's a touch screen, so, you know, you can, you know, move stuff up and down like that. But, you know, I use the trackpad down here and the mouse and whatnot.
How's the palm rejection on the screen, since you have to kind of have your hands pretty far up there?
I haven't noticed any problems with it, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, I mean, I've been using it for like 3 weeks now. Right. This was my one and only laptop when I went to New York City, so, which we'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Yeah, and I also, I know I have all these questions, but, you know, you and I haven't talked about this other than just I have read your review. But just as like an aside, because I know that you, it looked like when you did your pictures for the article that you did in like a library. So you've had it out in public, and I wondered if you got any like odd glances or if anybody actually asked you about it.
Not really. And I think the main reason is because when you're out in public, you're not really using it in this configuration because it's usually going to be on your lap. Although actually, like where was I working? There was like a coffee shop in New York that I worked in for a couple of hours, and surprisingly, like nobody really asked about it. No, it was the airport. That's what I'm thinking of. It was the airport.
Okay.
Waiting for my flight on Tuesday, and nobody really asked me about it. And you know what the hell?
I hope that you used it on the airplane in that configuration, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I fly economy, sir. There is no. There is no way that that's going to happen. Anyway, so I use it mainly in this configuration when I'm at a table, when I'm at a desk, stuff like that. And, you know, obviously, you know, I've got it kind of sitting up close to me so I can, you know, so I can type. But there's one other, like, little trick that I liked that I think, you know, really shows that Lenovo put some thought into this. And that's if you use three fingers and you tap on this bottom screen here. You know what? There's some kind of software bug going on here. Oh, okay. That's like a window. All right. I've got like a bunch of these windows open here. Sorry. Anyway, so when you do like a three-finger tap, you get kind of like a faux touchpad here that you can move around. The reason that's important is because Microsoft has been doing touchscreens for about 10 years now. Oh.
Has been doing touchscreens since the late 90s, early 2000s. They were just resistive touchscreens.
Microsoft has done capacitive touchscreens now for about 10 years. But what Microsoft has not figured out yet to save its soul is how to replace a mouse with a finger. So, like, there's some stuff where you can, like, tap and hold, and that's kind of like a right-click. But there's, like, certain apps like Trello where, like, if you're familiar with Trello, Trello's a user interface where you, like, you have, like, cards here, and you can, like, drag them from column to column.
It's like a cascading to-do list, basically.
Yeah, like, I think they call it, like, a Kanban in, programming lingo. But so like what you do is you click on a card and you drag it over to the next column. It says now I have to do this task or whatever. You cannot drag cards in Trello with your finger. Like, it just doesn't work for some reason. That's I don't know why.
That is really weird. Are you using it in the browser or on the desktop app?
In the browser. I didn't even know there was a desktop app, to be honest. So maybe that might be a good way to work around it. But so what I ended up doing was whenever I had to, or when I had to select something, you know, I would bring up this mouse here, and I could, you know, click and drag around windows and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I could drag around Trello cards and what have you. And then, like, one other nice little software trick that you do is if you're dragging a window and you're kind of bringing it down towards the other one here, you see this little icon that pops up here? Mm-hmm. If you just drag it on top of there, it, like, spits it down to the bottom. And then down here,
Scrappy is actually frozen. Oh.
Oh, Scrappy froze? Okay. Oh, you know why?
Did he go to sleep?
Scrappy went to sleep. All right. Yeah, there we go.
All right.
So let's show that again. So if I start moving this towards the top of the screen, a little icon appears there, and I could just boop and spin it back up.
Oh, very cool.
Or you can actually do like a flick, and I get the flick works like 60% of the time.
60% of the time? Every time.
It works every time. But if you could flick it, it could go down to the bottom, and same, you can flick it up. Come on. Flick it back up to the top.
In theory.
In theory. And I've even had some success going in a downward direction, not upward, but if I go downward, I can get it to like, you know, if I try to go, it doesn't work going up. But if I go downwards, I can make that happen.
So we've seen all the neat tricks, all the party tricks that it has, or at least a lot of them. But my questions are, and this is maybe something I should have asked at the beginning, but
sure.
Specs. So those are, it's if you have it as one large screen, then how is it versus like what are the sizes of the two individual screens and then like your internals in terms of RAM?
13.3 inches, okay. For both screens. One, the base is a little bit thicker than the top. Mm. I think you can, let me see if I can position that here.
Oh, but yeah, you can see it's
a little bit thicker, like, because that's like where the battery is and stuff like that. And interestingly enough, that three finger tap only works on the bottom half. It doesn't actually work on the top. I can't do a three-finger tap up here to get a thing because it won't work. Now, you might think to yourself, well, why would you want a mouse pad up here? Like, up here? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, it still doesn't work over here.
Oh, interesting.
So you have to, I guess if you're right-handed, you have to make sure that the thicker side is on the right.
So you can adjust for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's like one minor little hiccup thing. In terms of like internal specifications, it is a core. This one is a Core i7 13th generation or Core i9. I don't remember off the top of my head. And it's 512 gigabytes of storage and I believe 16 gigabytes of RAM off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And so like, and definitely that's all great.
Definitely the ultra low voltage.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, look how thin that is. I mean, you definitely would expect that.
Yeah. And I was talking to a friend of mine who does like, you know, like real serious, like hardcore desktop applications, like 16 gigs of RAM. I don't know. But like, you're not going to edit videos on this. Probably you're not going to you could do some sound editing on here.
You could do video editing on this. It just wouldn't be a beast. I mean, you would definitely be rendering for a while.
it would take a while to do the rendering. That is for surely.
But that 13th generation Intel Silicon is supposedly beastly. I mean, I haven't seen you know. Anyway.
So. Yeah. And then the obvious caveat, like before I told you a damn thing about this laptop, the most obvious weakness you could probably see would be battery life because you're powering not one, but two 13-inch displays. This comes with a 68-watt charger in the box. So that's the charger right there. You can see it's not tiny, but it's also not huge.
Not huge, yeah. It's kind of about the same size as your MacBook charger, maybe a little bit bigger, or a MacBook Pro charger.
I mean, I don't have a recent MacBook Pro, but I would say it's actually a little bit smaller than a MacBook Pro charger. But anyway, so my general use cases, you know, I work 10-hour days when I'm doing my day job. So my general use case was I would plug this in overnight. I would use it until when I took lunch around but anywhere between noon and 1 o'clock. And I would close the laptop and plug it in for the hour that I was on lunch. And then I would fire it back up at the end of my lunch and I would be able to get to the end of a day.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's overall not bad. Like, it could be a lot worse, honestly. Oh, is that your MacBook charger?
This is a MacBook Pro charger, but this is also the 16-inch model.
Okay.
Which I think is 100 watts. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything that I can like hold up here to like put it in context. But not really. anyway, So, like, that's, like, the one glaring downside is the battery.
Sure.
Like, you know, if you, you know, and even if you have the keyboard up here, oh, you know what the other thing I never showed you was, if you do an 8-finger touch on the lower screen.
Like, you're giving your laptop a massage.
Right, exactly. You get a virtual keyboard that you mm-hmm. can type on. And like this keyboard down here, you can use 8 fingers to drag it down to the bottom, and you get those widgets back.
Oh,
up
at the very
top.
Cool, huh?
So well, yeah,
a lot of neat little software tricks that
right?
could have not like could have been
worked
good ideas, but not implemented well, right?
Right. No, Lenovo put a lot of thought into this.
And here's a question: so you reviewed the precursor to this last year. Or 2 years ago, something like that.
The folding, yeah, the X1 Fold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so conceptually similar. But the glaring part with that, which made it almost unusable with the Bluetooth keyboard, was the repeating mm-hmm. keys. Did you experience that here?
Not a problem at all.
Woohoo!
Not even nice. not even a little bit. It was beautiful. Like when I came into this review, I said there's going to be two obvious downsides mm-hmm. to watch for. One is going to be the Bluetooth keyboard. The second one's going to be the software. How does that shake out? And neither of those concerns bore any fruit. They were both perfectly fine. The only downside that I found of this laptop was the obvious. I mean, there were kind of like little picadillos here and there, and you know, read the full review. I'll put a link in the show notes to the full review on this last year. Yeah, a little picadillos. So like there are a couple of like little minor things that like are easily overlooked. So check out the full review and you'll get like my full thoughts on this. But for now, this is a good like little, you know, 15-minute preview of the thing. And so I think we can go ahead and put Scrappy to bed now.
Good night, Scrappy.
We can go ahead and get on with the rest of the show because, you know, this was my primary laptop while I was in New York. And you might ask yourself, what were you in New York, Adam? What were you doing there?
Curiouser and curiouser, she said.
Yeah. Yes, and if you haven't been following my work at Slash Gear, I don't blame you, I guess. But if you haven't, then if you have been following my work, you'll know that I was able to go hands-on with the Motorola Razr, which this is not that. But this is the Galaxy Z Flip.
Very similar in the lines, though.
Similar, yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, you know, I was telling people on the trip, you know, the reason I switched over to the Galaxy Z Flip about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, for a couple of different reasons. One, you know, I knew the Razr trip was coming up, so I wanted to refamiliarize myself with the Flip form factor. But also, I've been watching a lot of Burn Notice, which is a show from like the mid 2000s, and everybody in that show uses a flip phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I want a flip phone.
So you can smack it.
So you can be like, I gotta go, ma. Bam.
Yep. I do miss I do miss that.
Yeah, so...
It's kind of like when you had the Palm Pre, just as an aside, and when you slap the keyboard shut.
Yep. Slap. You got the exact... It is a similar. I would say not the same. Not the same feeling.
Not the same sad, feeling. But it was still satisfying.
It was very satisfying. So yeah, I went to New York on behalf of Motorola to go hands-on with the Moto Razr and the Moto Razr Plus. The Moto Razr is a lot like this guy. The Moto Razr Plus is not. We could just talk. I did a whole hands-on piece with the Moto Razr, mainly focusing on the Razr Plus because honestly, that was kind of the halo feature there. But I did that for slashgear.com, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But do you want me to give you like a high level view, or do you want to ask questions?
Just
or?
Give me the 10,000 foot view of not just the phones but the event and
yeah.
You know, you can talk a little bit about your horror story that
we're not going to talk about that at all, actually. That is off the table. We're not going there. You know, You and I could talk about that later, but I'm not airing that dirty laundry publicly. Anyway, so we went to, I flew into New York on Tuesday, and we had our briefing and content capture the following day on Wednesday. Although, funny story, when I first got to the hotel, I was walking in. I had just checked in. I had my, you know, my key card, and had my suitcase. And there was a Motorola rep downstairs. Not the one I normally work with, but one of them who recognized me and said, "Oh yeah, come on, right this way," and like put me in the elevator, took me up to the 20th floor. My room was on the 11th floor. took me up to the 20th floor. Went over to the suite and said, "Okay, here we are. I think they just started with the briefing." I'm like, "Okay, my briefing's tomorrow." And she's like, "Oh, right." So anyway, that was just kind of a funny little side note. Very nice hotel is the William Vale in Brooklyn, which is like, and it's in between. I don't speak New York, so bear with me. It's in between like Greenpoint and Williamsburg, which is, to people that know New York, they'll know it's kind of, you know, it's two areas in Brooklyn. What the difference is, I couldn't tell you. Anyway, so it was there, and it was kind of nice because we barely had to leave the hotel because the briefing was in the hotel.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, where we had the briefing, they had rented a suite, and like they had a big patio off the suite, and I told the people that were with me for the briefing, I said it's like this patio was made for product photography.
Yeah,
because like they
sure
had
that
like,
went into the consideration for when they talked with the
yeah
the planning people at the hotel. Yeah,
because I mean they had different backgrounds for everything. They had like different like textures. Like they had some like some granite stuff, and they had some wood stuff, and they had some cloth. And so I mean it was like it was great. You could take like pictures on like any background you could possibly want. So they gave us about an hour and a half. I'd say after the briefing was over, probably about an hour, half hour and 15 minutes to, to just, go use the phones, take pictures of the phones, shoot yourself with video with the phones, stuff like that. And I didn't do that last one, obviously, but it was kind of nice because, a lot of these briefings, you'll have like five people all huddled around a single phone.
Right.
Like, let me see. Well, like Motorola had like just a whole spread. Like I had all six different color variants in my hand at one point, because
that
and
would
I was
been
just
scary
like,
if I had been you, because I would have been really worried that I was going to drop one or more.
When we first walked out to the patio, I picked up a Motorola Razr and a Motorola Razr Plus and said, "Okay, see ya." They wouldn't let me leave. But yeah, they had people on hand to, ask questions, and it was a very pleasant briefing experience. And then after that, after the briefing, completely unrelated, there were a couple of other tech mixers that were going on. One was by Qualcomm, one was by IFA, because IFA's coming up in August. Don't know if I'm going to that or not. Stay tuned. So we managed to actually get to both of those. And it was when Qualcomm tried to go to their third bar at 1 o'clock in the morning that I had to tap out. But Qualcomm was very generous.
Qualcomm likes to celebrate.
They do. So it was nice to see Sasha Segan and a couple of other folks that I'd worked with at Qualcomm that I'd never met. So that was nice. I got to meet my old boss, AJ, from Digital Trends.
Was he now with Qualcomm?
No, he's just in New York. So gotcha. I met up with him and his girlfriend who works for Forbes and it was all networking,
all connected.
Baby.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
All connected. So the next day, there really wasn't much to do except wake up after way too little sleep and finish writing the hands-on. And then afterwards, I actually biked down to Southern Brooklyn, which was a lot. New York is deceptively large.
Yes, it is.
Like you look at a map and you're like, oh, it's just right there. Oh, that's easy. It was okay, but my body was not ready for a 6 mile bike ride yet. Anyway, so I biked down to meet up with Michael Fisher because he wanted to do kind of like an embargo launch, an embargo dropping party, but which I was half an hour late.
You guys went to like a coffee shop, wasn't it?
Yeah. We went to a coffee shop and then kind of just walked around Brooklyn for a while. And I forget how fast New Yorkers walk.
Oh, yeah.
They do not mess around. And so I asked Michael, I said, you know what? I cannot bike back up to northern Brooklyn. Will one of your magic boats get me there? And so he, you know, because there's a lot of ferries. And so right. he taught me how to take the ferry back to Williamsburg, which was very much appreciated.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah.
Also maybe a time to do some more. Well, you didn't have the review device in hand, but maybe take some video with something if you were reviewing something else.
But it anyway. Would have been nice, but no. So it's funny, like, and just like side note for me, like I think it was like 8 reviews in April and 9 reviews in May. So I am in the middle right now of a self-imposed review hiatus. I am not touching anything except the Moto Razor. Like I told my boss, like, Moto fine, Google fine, anybody else, I need a month. just let me take the month off and then we'll talk. So I'm going to do the review on the Moto Razor Plus, waiting for that to arrive. It should be sometime this week, I think. Anyway, and then getting back to the thing. So, long story short, no, I did not have any devices to take photos with on the sure. boat. Would have been nice, didn't have it.
And you guys went to Cirque du Soleil? I can never say
so
that.
Yeah, so it wasn't really Cirque du Soleil so much as it was a Motorola Razr launch event that at which Cirque du Soleil performed. So, like, I don't think we are actually at the Cirque du Soleil venue. I think it was a venue that was set up to do, like, Cirque du Soleil stuff. And it was very hot. It was very crowded. There were no chairs.
That sounds awful.
It was not an event for me. Like, and, you know, I told my PR, my Motorola PR person, Kristen. Hi, Kristen. I told her, like, it wasn't made for me. It was cool, but it wasn't really a me thing.
Yeah, from the pictures you sent me, I'm like, it really doesn't seem like a you kind of event.
Yeah, it was fine.
Maybe 25 years ago.
Yeah, probably. Like, yeah, like the other journalists that I was with, they loved it. I'm just old, you know? I'm old and I'm fat and I like to sit. Really, I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah, I know what
I'm
you
old
mean,
and
friend.
I'm fat and I like to sit. But anyway, yeah, so and then when that was over, we went out to a couple of bars on the way back to the hotel and once again went to sleep way too late. And then I woke up the next morning and used the Lenovo yoga book for 4 hours, just doing like normal job stuff. And then I went back to the airport and came home.
Sounds like a nice little round trip. Now, I guess we can just... I know you can't talk too much about the product, but you want to just give us a little hands-on of your hands-on?
Yeah. So like the halo feature of the Moto Razr Plus, obviously, is the cover screen. Which right. I mean, I'm going to use the flip here as an example. Let me just take the case off of here because I don't know why not. The top half of this case never comes off very easily. So like the Razr, which this is not, take this camera and move it down here and then make this entire thing your cover screen.
Right. It's very attractive.
It is very attractive. And then like, obviously when you open it, you've got the cover screen up here and then down here is either, Gorilla Glass Victus or,
Pleather, or
vegan leather. Yeah. So, which the vegan leather is actually quite nice, and
I am digging that Pantone color of the year, like almost magenta color. It is so sexy.
I asked for the magenta version. We'll see if I get it because it would be really nice because it looks very nice. It looks a lot more red than magenta, to be honest. It doesn't look very pinkish.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if I get it. But the other two colors are like blue, which is also quite striking, mm-hmm. and then your basic black. And then on the smaller razor, which again is this is actually a pretty good facsimile of it. You've just got the cover screen, which is like this size. Although on the flip, it's flat. On the Moto Razor, it's actually raised a little bit, so there's a little bit of a bump here. And then this is all vegan leather here. And so
on the minus.
On the I call it the Razor Junior, and I'm currently losing to Michael Fisher's Moto G Flip, I'm going to defend Razor Junior as long as I have breath. But anyway, the star of the show is the Moto Razor Plus, which like this. It's this whole screen. Now, the cool thing about really all the razors is that Moto has never told you what you can and can't do out here.
Right.
You know, you can run an app on this little guy if you wanted to. You probably don't want to, but you can. And that's the same thing that goes on with the Moto Razor Plus. You can run any app on the outside cover screen and it may be great. It may not be. It's kind of a better to have it and not need it kind of situation.
And then it also has widgets on the front, too, that are from Motorola that you can use.
Yeah. So there are 8 widgets, which let me see if I can remember what they are exactly. There is an app launcher. There is a quick contacts widget, so you can like tap on somebody's name and call them. There's games, which is not only games that are specifically designed for the cover screen, because Motorola built like 3 or 4 of those. Like there's a Subway Surfer clone, and there's like a maze game, and then there's like a sideways runner game where you like jump over stuff. Okay, and so it includes those games, but also any other game that you have on the thing. There's a Google Fit widget. There's a Spotify widget. There's a weather widget. A calendar widget, and there's one more, and I can't remember what it is. But come on, the fact that I remembered seven out of eight
is not bad for sure.
Go read my hands-on. You'll find out what the mystery 8th widget is. And the cool thing is when you have those widgets, you can turn on a little switch. You can turn it off too if you'd rather just enjoy your wallpaper, but you can turn on a little switch that gives you like little shortcut icons so that you can tap to any one of those widgets. You can tap like straight to it. And they also wrap around Samsung, so if you get to the end of widgets, you can just kind of flip one more. Gotcha. And you'll get back to your main cover screen. They also have a lot of backgrounds that are designed specifically for that cover screen, including some like cartoon things that happen
That.
So little that's cute animals. Cute. Yeah. One other cute thing that they did for the cover screen was when you have your camera app open, you can have a little cartoon character up here to like get kids to smile, basically. So you could be like, look at this silly little face over here.
Gotcha.
Snap, you know.
Right.
Which,
Seen, there are now 4 cameras. I saw this the other day. I think it was on one of those like Instagram shopping things, but they make little stuffies that wrap around your camera for taking pictures of kids.
Oh, really?
It becomes like a little monkey. And so, yeah, I think it's actually a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, so like having had kids that are the age that's targeted towards,
right.
I'm dubious about how well it'll actually work, because I don't think it would have worked on my kids at all.
Right.
But it can't hurt,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
It definitely can't hurt. And the same thing with the little cartoon deal here. The Razor doesn't have, I mean, like, if you look at this, if you look at what do they call this? The thing where it holds as its own tripod.
Right. Like, selfie mode.
Samsung has a name for it, right. And I can't remember what it is. But anyway, like, this thing, you can put it anywhere you want it to, and it will just stay there. So, like, for Motorola, I want to say they said it was, like, 35 degrees. I think it was 45 degrees to 135 degrees you can do that. But you can't do, like, I mean, that's, like, 150 degrees right there. I mean, that's almost flat. For, like, most other flip, most other flip style folds are just going to snap.
Yeah, they're just floppy.
Yeah. The crease is not really much of a problem. I mean, it's as much of a problem with as it is on any flip form factor. So, didn't you have a flip for like half a week?
I did. I had the original foldable Motorola Razr.
Okay,
you for had a the little bit one. And then I had a Flip 3 for a little bit.
Oh, okay. You did. Okay. I was going to say, because like, I know that you had one, but the hallmark of those were it didn't stand up like that. It was either open or shut, nothing in between.
Well, I tell you, I mean, it actually has been a long time now that I think about it, since the original touchscreen.
The original Razr? Yeah, Razr. It was 2019.
So yeah, it was right before the pandemic. And Number one, it was a Verizon.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure it was December 2019, but still,
it was a Verizon exclusive, which was horrible.
Yeah,
and it was severely underpowered, and the battery life was horrible. And then the hinge just made this creaking sound. It was
yours
horrible,
got creaky. That's right,
horrible.
That's right.
Yeah, that went back really fast.
Yeah.
I love the idea of it, as I did with the Flip 3, but again, I think the foldable form factor for me might be the fold,
the tablet,
like the tablet style. Yeah,
I get it. But yeah, I really did, and like I said, I've been using the Flip 4 for a couple of weeks now, and I kind of forgot how bad the battery life was on this. Like, it's not good.
It is not good.
I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not good.
Well, I'll tell you, the difference there is that the Plus anyway has the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 Plus,
right?
Which is it's really good in my experience.
Shouldn't that be the same one as this, that's in here?
Actually, yeah, it is.
I don't remember if this is a Gen 1 Plus or if it's just a Gen 1.
I think it's a Gen 1 Plus.
I think you're right. Yeah. So I think
because they
it's
came
the same
out
one.
Right when that processor came in, and they might have actually been some of the first phones to have it outside of China.
But here's the X factor.
Right.
Like I don't remember offhand what the battery size is on this.
3,600 milliamp hour? 3,800?
Is it 36?
Something like that, yeah.
So the Razr is right around that same neighborhood.
Right, I know.
Now, the difference is with this phone, if you want to do anything, you need to do that.
True.
With the Motorola Razr, and I swear I... I don't have my. I'm painter's taping that thing shut for at least a week while I do the review, because I am going to use the phone exclusively on the outer screen, because that's the point. See, it doesn't matter if you have a smaller battery when you're not when you don't
have
to power
screen, basically.
A 6.9 inch screen.
Right.
If you're just doing a 3.6 inch screen, that's not going to take up nearly as much juice, and you can do anything you want on this outer screen. The only difference is, and I think not a disqualifier, but that's going to be like your one caveat is it's not going to be terribly easy to take photos.
For something in the browser or anywhere where you're going to have to type and you're also viewing something, that might get a little frustrating.
It gives you a full-size keyboard.
I know. So, but it's also going to take up a lot of the screen real estate when you're doing
it. It takes up all the screen real estate.
Right, there you go.
It actually gives you like a little box up here to type in, and like the rest of this is your keyboard. So you can't really get context for the conversation. So remember what you're talking about before
exactly,
you start typing.
Exactly. Or even just putting in a web address. And like, to me, that's where that might be, you know, what breaks you, and you go to using at least for a little bit the large screen. Now, some of the things that I saw with this that maybe, and I also have a question, but first of all, the fact that it's not, it does not have as high of an IP rating as Samsung's
IPX, IPX, or no, IP52.
So basically, whichever dust resistant and water splash resistant, right?
Right.
Although it does have that nano coating.
But Michael Fisher in his hands-on pointed out that this is the first foldable to have any kind of dust resistance, which is kind of nice.
That's awesome. Anytime you're dealing with that hinge, yeah, for sure. And then my question was, because I'm sure that it was in your hands-on or in something else I read, but
right,
because my caveat with my hang-up with buying any Motorola phone is the lack of software support commitment. And I think they committed to like three OS up? I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember if I put that in my hands-on or not. But yeah, it was 3 and 4. 3 years of operating system upgrades, 4 years
security.
Of security. And, you know,
That's pretty good. For Motorola, that's really good.
Right. And assuming Motorola keeps up with that. Because, right. You know, a lot of companies, I'll be honest with you, Do I have any idea whether or not Samsung is still upgrading the Galaxy S21 Ultra? I have no idea. Right. Like, Samsung could have stopped updating that. I would have no clue. And it's like, I would venture a guess that 90% of the people in my profession have no idea if the S21 Ultra is still being updated. Maybe one of our viewers knows. Comment down below. But if you have an S21 Ultra, check to see what the...
I am not going to remember that you asked that, and then I'm going to see the comment, and I'm going to be like, why are they commenting about
what
the S21 Ultra?
What are you
Ultra?
Talking about the S21? We're talking about the Razer. Razer, people! No. Anyway, no.
That would have been a good clip. Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, they committed to 3 and 4. So we'll see how that shakes out in 2026.
Yeah.
But
from by which time you will have no idea if it's been updated.
I can
either.
Promise you, I will not give a crap. Anyway, but you know, Motorola does recognize that is that is an important aspect, especially when you're buying a foldable like this.
Right.
Rated for 400,000 folds, which is another thing I did not put in my hands on. But I asked,
what does that actually equate to in terms of like the average person? I wonder. Math in the head time.
I mean, if you open it and close it 100 times a day, it's 4,000 days. So that's 10 years. Give or take.
Most likely much longer than the length that phone will be used.
Right. Or I would say much longer than the useful life. But, I mean, who knows? You know, there is a real possibility there's a likelihood that some of these will probably go bad.
Yeah.
When you first open it up.
I do remember in Michael Fisher's hands-on, he said that there were 3 layers of plastic underneath the thin folding glass, which is pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and the thing is, like, Motorola as a company has put a lot of engineering effort into making durable glass. I mean, you remember a couple of years before the first Razer came out, they had
plastic.
Well, right. But, a couple years before that first Razer came out, Motorola had the Moto Z2 Force, I believe is what it was called.
Oh, that's right.
Where with like the unbreakable, the shatterproof screen.
Another Verizon exclusive.
And a friend of mine was actually one of the engineers that worked on that on that glass.
That's right. Motorola is located in Chicago.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it doesn't surprise me that. It wouldn't surprise me if this thing actually did last for, 400,000 folds or whatever they say.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I know what, did they announce, because I know that first of all, the Plus is shipping before the Junior, right?
The Plus is shipping before the Junior, and I appreciate your support. And yeah, it is shipping at $999.
And then I knew it was $999 for the Plus.
They have not announced pricing for the
small
one.
My guess would be $799, but that's just
there's a lot of speculation. There's some speculation, and actually, there have been some rumors that suggested $699.
Really?
Yes. Huh. So what Motorola did say. And this was in Michael's video, and they told it to us too, but he's the one that actually pointed it out in the video, so credit where it's due. The Motorola Razer Junior will be meaningfully cheaper than the, you know, than the $9.99 right. price point.
I mean, I think, I mean, when you look at what the Plus brings to the table, in terms of, when you first of all think about, I think to me, I've made this reference before, but the foldable to me is like a sports car or a fashion item. It's something that's not necessarily the most durable, not necessarily mm-hmm. the most practical, although you can make arguments for the practicality of the folding and some things sure. that you can do. But you know, it's a talking point kind of thing. And so, you know, it's a boutique, and the fact that you can get that now at $9.99 with that screen is, yep. I mean, it's not a screaming deal, but it's at least accessible.
It's accessible, and you know, the way I wrapped up my Flip 4 review was, you know, if you're in the market for a tall phone,
right,
like, you know, a tall phone like this, but you want the extra utility that folding it and putting it into a tiny little pocket gives you, there's really no reason to not buy this phone, because it's the same price as the S20 X Ultra, or the S20 X Plus, I should say. And, you know, as is the Razer Plus. So, I mean, like, there's really no reason, if you're thinking about getting the S23 Plus, you know, this should probably be part of the conversation as well.
I mean, I made the argument for Samsung that they should just ditch the Plus model completely from the S lineup.
And indeed, just, you did.
Yeah.
And
a few years ago.
Which I successfully parroted in my review, so I thank you very much for that. But yeah, so I mean that is the Razer Plus, and then one last little fun fact: when I got on the plane to come back to Chicago, I was sitting there in my seat, you know, looking at my phone or whatever, and someone said, "Adam," and I looked up, and it was my PR rep that I work with all the time, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm sitting right there next to you." I'm like, "Oh." Okay, so that was a really weird thing, and it was fun because, you know.
Well, that makes sense. She was going back to Chicago too, so okay.
Yeah, but it was kind of weird. It was weird that we were on the same flight. It was downright bizarre that we were sitting next to each other.
Yeah, that is really weird.
You know, I mean, it was a small plane, so it was not statistically relevant. But I mean, you know, if it was a 747, she was in the plane sure. next to me, then yeah, different conversation. Then that's like just completely.
That and the fact that 747s aren't really in service anymore, so that would have been
a feat of its own. Weird. So, Mr. Plane Smarty Pants. But anyway, so it was kind of fun that we got to sit next to each other, and like when she said that, I'm like, don't worry. I know how to mind my own business, so if you just want to chill out and like not talk shop the entire 2-hour trip home, I get that. So it was cool though. We had a good time. Yeah, and I got to see my house from the airplane.
Ah, that's always fun. I've lived close to an airport a couple of times, and so anytime I would fly out of Greensboro, North Carolina, I would almost always see my house. Actually, it was usually when I was coming back, because the flight path was like. Right, you could easily see it. But well, yeah,
and it's funny because like the last few trips that I've taken have been like Hawaii, Las Vegas, right. From the west, and I live west of O'Hare. And this time I was coming from New York, which is east. Mm-hmm. And so like when I told my wife I saw our house, she's like, "Why were you coming from that direction?" I'm like, "I don't know, but so we were."
Circle the airport sometimes.
It was kind of funny though, because like I told Kristen, I said one of the games I like to play is like, can I determine where we are from air, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, and, you know, she was from north of Chicago too. So we were kind of like flying in each other's hoods, you know, but I'm just like, yeah. So if I look down, I'm like, oh, wait, okay, yeah, that's that. Oh, that's the high school. Okay, and like that's the lake by my kids' grammar school, and that's my house right on there, and that's the lake that's across the street from me, and that's my Home Depot. Like it was like really.
You were enjoying this too much. I'm just kidding.
I loved it. It was fun. But anyway, yeah. So good times. Wow. Well, so we were going to talk a little WWDC, but let's face it, we're kind of an hour into this.
Yeah, we are.
People are probably sick of hearing from us. And that's okay, because
we're... You want to just give overall impressions of what they announced or maybe we just say our favorite thing that they announced.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. I have two, actually.
That's fine.
Two things. Both for the iPhone. I really like the contact card. The name.
Yes.
The whole concept of the name drop, the contact card.
Basically,
and I like
the additions to AirDrop.
Yeah, well, but what the contact card is you can design your own. They call it a poster.
Right.
You can design your own poster, so when you call another iPhone,
right.
your poster appears on their iPhone. So you know what I'm kind of thinking?
Some mature content we have.
You are going to have to come watch the YouTube video for those of you listening to the feed. Just mark down 54 minutes. I honestly might make that my poster. But anyway, but then they have the thing where you can like send your contact information by Tony. I knew his Tony Nodge from Pocket Now. He was like, "You want to bump phones?" And you can bump your phones.
Oh, Anthony DeNoge.
Yeah. And you can AirDrop your contact information to another iPhone, which is kind of cool. So that that whole concept there was pretty cool to me. And then the nightstand clock thing that they did for the iPhone, where if you put your phone on like a wireless charger and turn it into landscape, it turns into like basically a big alarm clock where you can like see the time, you can see calendar stuff, you can see alarm stuff, like from across the room, basically, because it's kind of huge. I thought that was actually kind of awesome, and
I don't think I'll end up using it, just because any MagSafe chargers that I have are the phone lays flat, and so it's really not useful for me. But
I have so many of those MagSafe chargers.
I bet you do. Yeah, I mean, I have cheap.
I'm
chargers,
such a MagSafe whore. I'm sorry.
You know, you're not. I showed it to my brother. Actually, I had my MagSafe case on and just my wallet. But then I started telling him about all the accessories. And I mean, he's been using iPhones for years.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he'd really bought into So yeah, he's now his whole family's MagSafe everything now. And in 6 months, he went completely MagSafe.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what about yours?
The first one I thought was just someone who's been using an Apple Watch for almost a year, so like 8 or 9 months now.
Yeah, you're coming
on. Quick access to what are basically widgets. Well, like, as an example, let's just say you set a timer, and then you go back to your main, your home screen.
Yeah.
You can use the dial, the digital crown, to just kind of nudge up a little bit, and it shows you things like your timers, your fitness, basically just widgets for the things that you have running in the background that you use a lot.
Yeah.
So it's quicker at a glance information. Yes, I like that a lot. Secondly, I'm actually legitimately excited now. And I won't talk about it in terms of what are the features that I liked, but I got like that Apple feeling that like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is like unlike anything I've ever seen with the what's it called, it was their last product announced, the Vision.
now I'm interested, because honestly I kind of thought you were going to write that one off.
No.
So
well,
yeah,
you're asking me do I think it will be successful. I honestly have no idea. I mean, we're so early to the. Well, I mean, I kind of feel like it's going to be like the first Apple Watch in that,
or the first iPhone.
Yeah, but to a more so degree in terms of the price of access right now. Is very, very high, and which is $3,499 to start.
Yeah.
And the fact that it seems like the rumors are that Apple is selling this at cost, which I can kind of believe based on everything it's got in it.
Yeah.
Is it something that I will buy? No, not right now. I just, it doesn't add anything to my life that is worth $3,500. However, it's really the first augmented reality piece of hardware that I've seen that feels like more than
an Oculus.
Well, what am I trying to say? That doesn't feel like beta hardware. Okay. In terms of, it just feels very well thought out, very polished. It has the software to go with the hardware, including an app store and a developing. Oh, I do too. Yeah. I mean, this is just the first announcement. So much, and I really look forward to, you know, the eventual hands-on, the eventual reviews, and the thing, and seeing what people do with it. But yeah.
I agree.
I feel like, you know, and they said as much in the announcement that this is, it's kind of in those pillars like an iPhone or the first Mac in terms of it being one of those pivotal products. And I mean, what their words were actually, it's the most innovative new piece of technology that they've ever created or that has ever been created.
There was a lot of hyperbole during that that presentation.
I counted five magical.
Five magicals?
Five magicals, yes.
Nice. That's actually cutting down for Apple.
It is, especially for a new product.
So I think what I was telling people was they really Appled it up. Like they took a headset, they took a VR headset, and they Appled the hell out of it.
You know what? It technically could be six if you count the fact that they brought out the head of the Magic Kingdom.
That's true.
With Bob Iger being on, but yeah. So
like what they did was they took an Oculus Quest and they said, okay, what should this be?
Right.
And then they made their headset what the Oculus Quest should have been from the start, to be honest. Light, offload the battery into a separate thing. You know, you can see through it. You don't need controllers for it. Like I actually don't have a problem with controllers, to be honest. But I can see why people might not want controllers.
It's ease of access. It's accessibility, right? Because now you're not having to charge your controllers. You're literally just using your eyes and your hands. And yeah, so, if that actually works as well as the demonstrations that they showed,
that's the big question.
Very cool. I mean, that's the big question. But here's the level of thought that went into it too, right? Because one of the things that I've always heard about, and I've only used a little bit of, I used Google Cardboard actually. I've used that, and I used Google's really cheap headset that they came out with years ago.
For the record, when I came out to visit you, I asked, do you want the drone or do you want the headset? And you said drone. So,
I never got a drone, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no, I mean to play with.
No.
Yeah, you're right. I think we never used either. but anyway, go back.
But, you know, completely different. Oh, what I was going to say is wearing glasses is extremely uncomfortable. And they actually have, you know, the ability, they worked with Zeiss to create a program to put your prescription glass in there so that you can which I mean, that level of detail, that level of trying to make it comfortable and usable and worth the $3,500 that you're paying for it to start.
Mm-hmm. It's very Apple.
It is very Apple. Yeah, so, and we'll talk more about this later, and I'm sure we might even have a guest.
We're gonna have to do that. But yeah, overall, I'd say it was a very interesting WWDC. I was a lot more interested in the phone stuff than in anything else that they had to talk about. But I also didn't get a chance to thoroughly watch it because I was editing pieces as they were coming out. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna watch this. Okay, now I'm gonna go edit this for 10 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna watch a little bit more and I'm gonna go edit this.
I mean,
so like
probably the biggest news from the first like 30 to 45 minutes, honestly, is the in terms of how it affects consumers. Outside of software, in terms of hardware that they actually announced or talked about, would be
the MacBook Air,
the 15-inch MacBook Air, which there is definitely a place in the market for that. And
and it starts at like $1,200. That's right, $1,299.
It's really not. I mean, considering that,
and they lowered the 13-inch MacBook by
$100 to $999. Yeah, although you, every time I see that, it's on sale for $100 off. So,
well, sure, but still.
but here's the thing, right? Yeah. In order to get a larger screen, as an example, for like my mother-in-law has a 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Because her eyes aren't great. So she has a $2,300 laptop when all she really needs is a 15-inch MacBook Air because there was nothing in between.
Right.
So this really fills a need in their product line. And then, okay, I will say actually the, not so much the Pro, the Mac Pro, because they finally announced a Mac Pro with Apple Silicon, which I know there's a huge demand for that out there. It's niche, yeah. But that hasn't been updated in a long time. But actually, the Mac Studio, the M2 Ultra processor, and that the fact that you can get up to 192 gigabytes of RAM in that, yeah. That is a beast.
Yes, it is. But that's a prosumer thing, so that's not really for
no.
You know, you or me or pretty much anybody watching this podcast.
But just it's nice to see. Apple kind of comes in waves with outside of the MacBook Pro. In terms of updating their Pro stuff. And that used to be their bread and butter, honestly, for Macs were creatives and studios.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the MacBook Air started selling really well years ago, and Macs became much more popular. And then the Pro stuff just didn't get updated that much. As an example, there isn't a 27-inch iMac. There's only the 24-inch. So even still... You know, there are still some gaps in their line, especially with the Apple Silicon. But yeah, it's nice to see the pros getting some love again.
Right now, Cliff is just trying to figure out how to get his employer to buy him a Mac Studio. So,
no.
But anyway, all right. Well, while we contemplate that age-old question, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode of the podcast. And please consider subscribing to this podcast if you enjoyed it. And if you really enjoyed it, I would love it if you would write a review for the show. And if you're watching this on YouTube, click that subscribe button and smash that bell so you can be notified of new episodes and reviews as they drop. And if you want some early access, jump onto Patreon at patreon.com/benefitofthedoubt. I'd like to thank co-producer Cliff for all of his hard work behind the scenes, but most of all, and as always, I would like to thank you all for listening and for giving us the benefit of the doubt.